Good day, and welcome to the RENS Electrogas Purchase Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Anna Ferment. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good morning, everyone. We're very excited to be holding this conference call with you today. I'm joined by Rodrigo Costa, our CEO, Gonçalo Soares, our CFO, and João Conceição, our COO. Rodrigo will make an introduction, and then Gonçalo will go through a presentation about this deal. In the end, we are all available for questions. I will now pass the floor to Rodrigo. Rodrigo?
Good morning, Anna. Thank you. Thank you all for being with us for this conference call. Today, we've made an announcement. I just want to start by saying this is a first step towards a potential transaction. But for the moment, we still have to wait a few more days to understand if this will go ahead or not. And we just want to be very, very clear, very straightforward about some level of details of the deal. We will go through that. We have a presentation that we already have with you. And I'm sure we'll be able to provide, good answers, a good explanation, the rationale. We are extremely happy to be where we are. We have a very positive perspective, but still, this is just one step towards one goal. And with that, I will pass to Gonçalo, who is going to take you through the presentation. And as Anna said, we will be available, myself, Gonçalo, and João will be available to answer any question.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being available for this call on such short notice. We couldn't give you much more notice. So I'm going to go through the presentation, which is on our site. It's just four slides. I'll do it quickly, and then we'll open up for questions. So we're happy to be talking to you about this potential or this agreement that we already have to acquire a 42.5% stake in a Chilean transmission gas company. We are happy because this was one of the points and one of the main pillars of our business plan. Our business plan, as you can see on slide one, is basically and continues to be to maintain our local business as our top priority and, on the other side, to maintain and consolidate our financial and funding position. Those are, I would say, the two main pillars, which continue to be the two main pillars of our strategy moving forward. But international opportunity was a third pillar that we wanted to explore in order to be able to maintain a certain stability in the company over the long term. And this potential deal that we are announcing today fulfills a little bit all of the criteria that we've been talking with you over the years. So in terms of investment, it is in the type of investments that we know well. It is a brownfield, so we knew that we were looking both for either a brownfield or a greenfield, so I think that ticks that box. In terms of ownership, it is a significant equity stake and not a financial stake, and we have important local partners in this company as of now. One which is a company owned by the Chilean state, and the other which is a major industrial group in Chile. So that also ticks that box. And thirdly, it's in Latin America, in one of the two countries, which were Chile and Peru, that we had been investing more time. And so I think at the end of the day, this is the type of opportunity that we've been looking for with, I'd say, the right size and the right risk profile in our view. So looking and going to slide number two and to explain a little bit what we are talking about. So this is the main, let's say, pipeline that exists in Chile, namely the main one that serves the capital, Santiago de Chile. It connects Santiago to the LNG terminal of Quintero. It is a critical infrastructure. It's over 165 kilometers of length. And it is a critical infrastructure in that region, not only to supply the distribution of gas in the capital, but also to supply several generation companies. You can see that we have as key customers companies like Endesa, who is a seller in this question, like Colbún, the other shareholder, AES Gener, so several generation companies, several distribution players, Metrogas and Gas Alpo, and also ENAP, which is the oil and gas company owned by the Chilean state, which is also one of our main shareholders. So this is an extremely critical asset with a high visibility in terms of future cash flows, and I'd say with a very also interesting shareholder base, as we told you, with Colbún and ENAP being extremely important players, not only on the energy, but also on the overall Chilean market. So moving on, if you want, to slide number 3 to explain a little more detail about this investment and why we think this is a good opportunity. As we've always told you, we wanted to go about the international project with a cautious and disciplined approach. Cautious in the sense that it had to be low risk, it could not put in jeopardy our credit metrics, and disciplined in the sense that it should have decent returns given this risk. So I think this is an asset and opportunity that fulfills these two criteria. Chile is, I'd say, the lowest risk country in Latin America, clearly, actually, in terms of rating, actually, slightly better than Portugal nowadays. I think that on that side, with a growing economy, with a growing gas demand, so I think on that side is clearly a positive. The second thing which also reduces the risk is that this is clearly a unique asset. As I told you, it's the only pipeline in this region. It provides and it has a lasting relationship for many years already with several of our shareholders and non-shareholders and generation clients. It is an asset that has a quasi-regulated nature with very stable and very long-term take-or-pay contracts and with very high margins and very high cash conversion based on revenue. It is also an acquisition that has a positive impact on REN. We know that this is net income accretive as of day one, even though in the first year, given that this is funded with debt, has a lower impact, it is positive from day one. We also know that when we've looked at it, that it does not put into question our investment grade credit metrics. We are extremely careful and cautious about this. We've been engaging with the rating agencies closely about these types of transactions. We know exactly what the metrics should and should not be. And in our view, this does not put any undue stress on those metrics in terms of maintaining our investment grade. Last on our last slide, in slide number 4, just to let you know a little bit what should be the next steps of this transaction. So as of today, we are announcing this agreement with Enel Generación Chile for this acquisition. We are not closing the transaction as of now because as of the shareholders agreement, other shareholders have a right of first offer, and so there has to be a certain period for them to be able to exercise that right. That right is something that will be concluded around the middle of January, so if everything would go according to plan, we would be able to be closing the transaction at the end of January, first days of February, something like that. Okay? So the exact date is not a precise date because it depends on the exact timing that the shareholders are notified. And so it is, I'd say, not completely concluded. And for that reason, also, there are some information that we may not be able to share with you as of today, but I think we'll be able to share enough information for you to understand the nature of the acquisition. And so I think with this, I finish my very brief presentation. I'll just pass on to Rodrigo for some final remarks and then Q&A. Rodrigo?
Thank you, Gonzalo.
I think our presentation gives you a very good view of the asset. You know, we are, you know, quite enthusiastic about doing this transaction. Electrogas is it's a nice company, well managed. It has a track record of success over the years. We had the opportunity to visit the infrastructure. We had our people helping us evaluating the company, and we feel very good about moving forward with the deal. Now, as I said, as Gonçalo is saying, as we wrote, you know, there is still something that needs to happen, and we need to be very, you know, we are very open about the situation. You know, the deal is not done. It will be, you know, we have to wait a few weeks to understand if this is something that it will come to fruition or not. And with that, I would, you know, I would move back to Anna, or we can go straight to the question. Anna?
Thank you, Rodrigo. I ask our manager to put on the questions and move on, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Sarah Piccini of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning all, and thanks for the conference call. I start with two questions. First one is if you can provide more details on the financials of the company, like the EBITDA, net income, and IFRA and RAB, if available. This just to have an idea of how much is the multiple at which you are valuing the company. And also if you have an idea of the expected contribution at the equity line from this investment. And the second question is if you can clarify the regulatory framework of these assets. So there are take or pay contracts and therefore is not a RAB-based asset, correct? And if the revenues are linked to U.S. inflation or you have any volume effect. Thank you.
Okay, as in terms of financials, just to give you a little bit of color, as I told you, Anna then can go a little bit more into detail with you. EBITDA is a little bit over $30 million U.S. dollars now, okay? Net income a little around $20 million U.S. dollars. This is for 2015. So that gives you more or less an idea of the main financials. The investment, as we said, is around $180 million. Yes, I do confirm that this is a take-or-pay logic. It's not a RAB-based regulation. But they are extremely long-term contracts, and they are, I'd say, pretty safe contracts. I don't know, João Conceição has been following this, may add also something on this. João?
Yes, thank you, Gonçalo. Just to add that being take or pay, in addition to that, it is an infrastructure that provides a key supply to other users, namely CCGTs, as well as distributors on Santiago de Chile, whose forecast in terms of demand is quite significantly. So although it is a take or pay, we are very much confident that there is no significant risk regarding this type of framework.
Just to give you an idea, so there is no volume risk and the revenues are 75% dollar based and 25% local currency based, okay, which is normal for either these contracts or for the regulatory revenues, also the normal RAB-based revenues in Chile, many times are also have this kind of split in terms of revenue. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Very clear.
We will now take our next question from Yuta Unmusic of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. It's Yuta from Barclays. I have a couple of questions as well. Maybe you have said it in the beginning, but I missed the beginning of your call. So could you again quantify the earnings accretion on your net income line post this transaction? That's the first question. And then on the take-or-pay contracts, how you said you don't see a significant risk here and they're very long term. Can you quantify this as well? And what's the remaining portion of those contracts? So maybe they were concluded 5 years ago and now run for another 15 years, or how should we look at this? And then last question, how will the board of directors be set up in the new company, or how many seats will you have in the board of directors? Thank you.
Thank you so much. So in terms of earnings accretion, so what you should expect is something between 3 to 5 million of impact. But we are still doing the math here in terms of the funding, but should be something around that, and then I can give you a little bit more. In terms of the take or pay, João can comment a little bit more. It varies a lot. It varies a lot in terms of contracts, but João will give you a little bit more. In terms of the board, just to let you know, the governance of the company is, I don't know if it's public how the governance is made, it has 5 members, but then we'll give you a little bit more detail. I can tell you that we will have sufficient representation in the board. And at board level, and that the board of the company has a normal shareholder agreement that kind of protects all of the 3 shareholders in these types of situations, but it's a pretty, I'd say, standard kind of shareholder agreement that gives you enough visibility and power being a large shareholder, but also protects everybody else in terms of key decision making. João, I don't know if you want to.
Well, regarding the take or pay, we're speaking about roughly around 20 take or pays with different maturities. The average is over 15 years, which is quite a medium long term in this type of contracts. But in addition to that, being several off takers, these diminish significantly the risk being based on 1 or 2. We are speaking about, as I said, roughly 20 take-or-pays, so it diversifies considerably the risk.
Just an additional comment. One of the things that right from the beginning attracted us is exactly the uniqueness of the asset. You know, this is a main pipeline. It connects, key generation plants, key industrial players. The references we have, the details we have from the contracts really provide us a lot of insurances. And we know the type of assets we are dealing with. This is absolutely aligned with the experience we have in Portugal. Of course, it has already been questioned what will be our position, how the board is defined. If this happens, it's going to be a 42.5% position in a company, which gives you the rights that, are in line with that type of position. Also, it's a small shareholder structure. And with very good partners also, I'm sure we all will want the same, which is the success of the company. But, this is a long-term investment. This is the type of infrastructure that you really don't replicate too much. And this gives us, of course, the company has a lot of responsibilities. It has a lot of rules to obey in terms of how you operate an infrastructure like that. But in the end of the day, it's a key asset, exactly in line with the type of assets we have here in Portugal and we are very familiar with.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Fraser McLaren of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just a couple of questions, please. This looks like a fairly mature asset. Just wondering what you hope to bring to the party in terms of operational upside. And just wondering what capacity is the line running at present? Is there scope to increase the capacity? Are there any other associated growth opportunities in the medium term? Thank you.
So in terms of what we can bring in, and I'll give the other answer to Islam. So this is, as you say, a mature asset, but this is an asset now managed by mostly generation-centric companies and a different company. So I think that we have a specific know-how, and this is our core business, is to manage these types of infrastructures. So I think we can bring something to the table in terms of how we manage it, in terms of how we maintain the asset and we invest in it, in terms of the cost and the OPEX. I think we are in Portugal an extremely well-managed company, efficient company, and so I think that we can also bring something to the table, although it is a well-run company nowadays, and so I think that we'll maintain it in the future as it is being managed. Okay, João, do you want to comment a little bit?
Just thank you, Gonçalo. Just to complement that, this is a quite similar infrastructure in terms of technical aspects to what we are used to do here in Portugal. In terms of the pipelines, in terms of the gas stations, in terms of maintenance approach and so on, there are some differences, and there's in these details where we can bring our experience and exchange with the experience that Eletrogaz has in place. Regarding the second part on growth opportunities, we see basically two areas. First, on one side, upstream, the terminal is foreseen to have some upgrades, and this will reflect obviously in this pipeline infrastructure, and mostly on the distribution side, the one off takers, which is the Metrogas, which is the distributor in Santiago de Chile, the capital, is foreseeing a significant increase on natural gas consumption, which, if it occurs, it will require also some inputs from the pipeline side in order to respond to these distribution needs. So these two are the ones that we foresee to be growth opportunities for the future.
Thank you.
Many thanks.
Our next question comes from Nelson Bernardino of Haitong Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So, first of all, just a quick question on the strategy. Do you see this deal as a platform for further deals in LATAM? And also, if you could just give some detail on the current balance sheet of the company, how it's funded in terms of equity and debt. Thank you.
I'll take the first, Gonçalo will take the second. In terms of, and somehow I'm also going to make a comment that relates to Fraser questions, the one just before this one. We look to this opportunity as, you know, something that is an extension of the type of risk and the type of growth we know it exists with this type of company, which is very different from a financial investor, very different from a company who invests to make, you know, quick money, or, you know, looks really into very big reorganization, opportunities. This is absolutely not the case. This is something that attracts us because by itself, it's a good opportunity for us to invest, and it can bring us the type of results we are used to on the long term. And this is very important. Of course, if we are able to go through with this, we see it as a standalone investment. It's an investment that it's very, very worth for us. You know, it's something that we like. We are not doing this deal, you know, trying to, you know, move immediately to another deal, or we are not looking into any other thing at the moment there, because we will be very happy to get this done. And of course, we also have to understand that, you know, we have a big, big company and a big business to run, which is our business here in Portugal. You know, we believe that by doing this, we are bringing some extra growth for REN. We believe that we can leverage from the know-how we have, you know, but we have no doubt that the company is well managed today at the same time. This is not a big synergy opportunity. That's not our angle. And again, you know, we will keep, you know, we go step by step. You know, this type of investments, it takes a lot of time to come to fruition. You know, we've been working for a few years already trying to identify opportunities. Sometimes we bid for the opportunities, and until now, you know, we sometimes we walked away, sometimes we lost, because we were not willing to pay as much as many other people did. You know, we have our metrics, like Gonçalo said. That score for us is to keep, you know, our discipline in terms of, you know, we have ambition, we have know-how, but we also have to manage very well our bank account and our relationship with our shareholders. You know, we are here for long term. We have commitments that we are not going to miss.
Relative to your question on the balance sheet, the asset, since it has been operating for quite some time, is now almost debt-free. So it has an extremely low amount of debt. Again, Anna will guide you through those numbers in detail of the call, but it is, I'd say, almost with very low debt on the balance sheet. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. Our next question comes from Gonçalo Sanchez Bordona of BPI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having this presentation. I just have a couple more short questions. One would be on the CapEx requirements. You've been discussing there are some growth opportunities in this pipeline because of expansion at the LNG terminal and then on the increase in the penetration of the gas distribution on the Metrogas side. Just wanted to understand if you expect some sort of large capex in requirements from the asset in the next few years, and related with this would be that just wanted to confirm you were expecting some sort of 150 million in organic acquisitions for the full 2015-18 plan. So if this transaction goes ahead, this would be pretty much it. Am I right? And then on the financing side of the transaction, just wanted to understand if you will be funding this with new debt issued in Chile or with corporate debt or just with the liquidity available you have. If you can provide some light on how would you funding this acquisition, that would be great. Thank you.
I can take the first one. I think in terms of what do we forecast as CapEx investments, I would say, you know, as we said in the beginning, this is, you know, mature business. We are not expecting any, you know, major investments to be done. And even the things that you all mentioned are things that really, you know, they are, let's say, simple growth opportunities, nothing that will require any major investments. You know, If something extraordinary would happen, which we are not aware at all, that would be a different case. But as far and of course you need to understand this is, you know, this is a first phase of a potential deal, and and as much as we have in terms of information, and this is where we are. You know, no expect these, you know, significant investments. Gonçalo, do you want to make a comment?
So in terms of the equity candidate, so basically this is going to be funded with unused credit facilities that we have. We have a lot of liquidity. I think that this is not going to be any major issue in terms of funding. In terms of the equity and what you said is true, namely what we've always said, it would be a maximum of that amount of equity, but more in terms of EV. In this case, it's basically the same because we are not going and leveraging straight into the asset, of course. If we could, then it's a different kind of situation. But in this case, yes, the envelope is more or less what we said. Okay? I agree with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Jose Martins of JB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Just a couple of questions. Basically about the tender process. You've said that, you know, there's a risk of this deal not going through. Could you elaborate a little bit on that? Can ENAP and Colbún bid for this stake? Are they fully aware that this tender process was going on? Can you tell us a little bit more about whether are you interested in buying more of this asset? It would be great to know a little bit about the tender process and how it happened.
Okay. This is a normal shareholder agreement with people with right of first offer. So the mechanics are that whenever there is a process and everybody of the shareholders is aware that there is a process going on, when there is a binding offer at the end of that process, then the remaining shareholders have to be notified. That notification has certain days, and then they have a certain period to exercise that right. That's it. And that's what we told you, that it would come to that point of being in the middle of January, and so being able to close on the second half of January. So in the rest of the questions, now there isn't anything on the table. We are not looking at anything off the table in terms of additional stakes. So that's something to be talked about in the future. Thank you.
So there is a certain degree of certainty that you're going to get this through. There is, the risk is very small that this doesn't go through.
Well, allow us to say it this way. You know, a deal is not done until it's done. There is a possibility of, you know, other actual shareholders exercising a right they have, and we have to count on that, you know. And, you know, if, you know, we are doing the disclosure at this moment because, you know, we are supposed to do it according to the Chilean laws and the Portuguese laws. This is a material event for the company, and that's why, and even with the, you know, the way we work with our shareholders and, in, you know, the way we have, and we like to be on the stock market, is with the transparency. But we are sharing, you know, we are super enthusiastic about getting this done. We made an offer that we believe it's very good for the company. But, you know, it's not yet done. And then there is, you know, I never rate the risks as small or big. In this case, there is a possibility that this will not go through, and we want to make sure everybody understands that. Because, of course, you know, it will be very frustrating for us if we are not able to do it, but it can happen, and life goes on.
Very, very clear. Thank you very much. I apologize for insisting.
Thank you. No. It's good. It's good that you asked the question.
As a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. We will now take our next question from Ana Afonso of Intermoney. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have four. The first one is regarding Endesa the Chile report in June this year. Electrogas reported a declared dividend of roughly 4 million Chilean pesos, which implies, considering the amount of investment you stated, a yield between 3 and 3.5%. Do you confirm this percentage? The second one is regarding your expectations for dividend growth of Electrogas. What kind of dividend growth do you expect? And the third one is, should we expect any impact on the REN committed dividends until 2018? And the last question is, what kind of net debt to EBITDA for REN ratio should we expect for the next years? Thank you.
No, we are not going to go into the, I don't know exactly what calculations you made in terms of yields. I can tell you that the numbers we see are much above that, but we are not going to go into the details of the returns. I can assure you that we've followed a disciplined approach as we looked at these assets. We've been looking at several, and we've passed on certain opportunities because the returns were not as we thought, and this is one where we thought that they were. I'm not going to comment you on dividend growth because we are still not even in the company, so I couldn't comment you on anything like that. As Rodrigo said, we are strong in maintaining the commitment of the dividends that we have until 2018. So this is an opportunity, and as I said, this is net income accretive, so it should not impact or put that question any kind of dividend policy that we have in place. And in terms of net debt, it's not going to have much more impact, and I don't think that the levels should be extremely different from where they are now. It could go a little bit up, but they are more or less at the same level. As I said, what we are extremely focused is on maintaining the FFO net debt at investment grade levels, which is the key metric that rating agencies follow in our case, and that makes sense for a company like ourselves. And so that's what we were careful not to put into question with this transaction. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a final reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. Please ensure that the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We have a follow-up question from Sarah Piccini of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking again my question. I apologize if you already answered on this. I would like to ask you, what is the impact on your credit metrics following this acquisition? Where do you see your FFO on net debt to move after the acquisition? And what is the limit that you do not have to surpass to maintain your rating? Thank you.
So in terms of the credit metrics, the FFO net debt, we are always extremely careful to maintain it above the 11%. It depends on a lot of rating agencies. Some of them calculate it in different ways. But I think that the impact is very limited. We've made that calculation. Our funding area has made that calculation. Our funding director has already spoken with the three rating agencies as of this morning. So I think we are comfortable with the, I'd say, small impact that this transaction has on the credit metrics. Again, I will then ask Anna to go a little bit in more detail with each one of you in terms of the impacts and on the numbers, which is a better way than to do it on the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's question and answer session. And now I would like to turn the call back to Ana Fernandes for any additional or closing remarks.
Rodrigo will make the closing remarks.
Yes, I will pass it to you after. We have to follow the tradition to make sure it keeps bringing good luck. Well, first, thank you all for being with us. You know, this is, we were talking among ourselves. This is, we need to have something exciting to get questions from our analysts, because I think today we had more questions than all the time I've been here with the company. And it's a good sign. It means that we have a lot of people that follow us and are interested in what we do. We are quite excited about what we're doing today. You know, we would rather do it at the moment where we would be 100% sure that the thing would be done.
But still, you know, you have to go through this to get it done. I think our teams did a great job identifying, working with the bankers, working with the sellers. And we are quite enthusiastic. You know, again, just to repeat, this transaction follows all our, you know, guidelines. You know, we had a very excited board supporting the management to get this done. And we'll see how it goes. You know, the priorities remain the same. As we said before, you know, this is a small investment compared to the size of the assets we run. We know well the type of asset we're talking about. You know, João's team is really very knowledgeable about what we do here. Gonzalo, you know, took in consideration all the aspects of the financing of the operation, the risks of the operation. I think we are in very safe ground. You know, again, you know, we keep with a lot of focus in, you know, our main focus on the operational side, on the finance side, and delivering in every commitment we made. And we think this would be a great start for us in terms of international projects. You know, small, steady, slowly, but that's the kind of company we are. But we have ambition for growth at our own pace. Well, thank you all, and Ana, I'll let you to finish the talk.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Guys, you know where I am. If you have questions, I hope you do, please send them. Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye.
And a Merry Christmas. If we don't talk,
yes.
Until next time.
Yeah.
Great New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.